Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Heavy, Mrs. Marsh. This is Wretched Radio. There have been many stories here at Wretched Radio that we have discussed that are deeply disturbing, but perhaps no story. This, wow, is like profoundly, this is like going to change your world. This could just totally alter the trajectory of your entire life. Jimmy, am I overselling this setup too much?
Maybe a little.
This is... Subtlety isn't anywhere in my name or vocabulary for that matter. I'm telling you, this is troubling. Joy Behar, in talking about the new Roman Catholic Pope, I'm serious. I'm thinking maybe we do need to get a hold of Jim Baker and buy some of that food and start moving to Montana, everybody. By the way, did you see that video that was circulating about Jim Baker? He's 85 years old. And he went on to his TV program, the Praise the Lord program. I think that's what it's called. I didn't know it was still on the air. And he was telling people that if everybody watching would just send in $1,000, then the ministry would be fine because they are after him. Who are they? That wasn't disclosed. But if you don't send in that $1,000, then he's going to be out on the street homeless. Same old, same old. Same old money grab. I read something interesting last night in 2 Peter. Let's see if I can do this for memory. Probably not. Last night in 2 Peter was reading about false teachers. And I know. I got to find this. Jimmy, maybe you could find it. 2 Peter, and he's talking about false teachers. It's the first third of the chapter. And he's talking about these teachers that love money. And he interjects a word, shameful beings. Why? That's really strong language talking about those false teachers, because what they do hurts people. And I've seen it. I know people who have loved ones who themselves have given a lot of money to these men and these women that are nothing but hustlers. They just love money. And it's shameful. And I think I really felt it when I was reading the text. I just thought Peter was expressing. It's like, this is just shameful. This is shameful what they're doing. And I wonder if we shouldn't be perhaps a little more exercised like Peter appeared to be in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse
1 through 3.
All right, let's hear it.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep.
Okay, keep reading, Jimmy, because I think that there is a parenthetical. Shameful. What they're doing is shameful. Or I perhaps was a little drowsy when I was reading my Bible, and I was making stuff up, which when it comes to false teaching, that is another hallmark. They just make up nonsense. Is nothing reliable these days? I'm watching The View. Okay, that's a lie. Somebody sent me the clip. On The View, Joy Behar actually said something kind of funny.
What do you want to bet Trump says the election was stolen?
That's pretty funny. So somebody must have written it for her. The gals at The View are now going to talk about the election of the Chicago Pope. Pope Leo, the X1V. Pope Leo, if I'm not mistaken, Pope Leo the 10th was the Pope during the time of the life of Martin Luther. He was, I'm pretty certain it was he that Luther railed against. And it wasn't merely because of the debauchery. It is because, well, one of the reasons was the money grabbing that was going on too in the Roman Catholic Church, the indulgence system, Mariology, which, by the way, the new Pope, we don't know where he's at with Mary and his affection. I think it was John Paul, the popular John Paul. He was big into Mariology. Well, guess what? So is the new, or the last Pope, rather. I didn't know this about Francis. He wrote his last will and testament. Here it is. Throughout my life and during my ministry as a priest and bishop, I've always entrusted myself to the Mother of our Lord, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Wow. Wow. That we go to a mere mortal to have them play the role that they simply are not suited for. Only God can be the one to whom you entrust yourself. I ask that my mortal remains rest, awaiting the day of the resurrection in the papal basilica of St. Mary Major. So I who's Mary Minor? Is Mary Minor's from Matthew chapter 26, which, by the way, Matthew, no, actually that would be better said John chapter 11, because Matthew 26 doesn't identify the woman who washed the feet of Jesus with her hair after anointing it with nard, which is an extract from a Himalayan plant. How do you know these details, Friel? Just preached about it. Very expensive, about a year's wages. And she wiped it off with her hair. What Bible verse talks about hair? Well, you're maybe thinking Samson, but I'm thinking about a woman's hair being her glory, said Paul to the Corinthians. Furthermore, in first century Jewish culture, a woman's hair was private. A woman didn't reveal her hair in public. It was a private matter for her husband, for her family. This woman so loved Jesus that she uncovered her hair and used it to wipe his feet. This is a woman that John 11 identifies as Mary, who deeply, profoundly, humbly loved Jesus Christ. In fact, what did Jesus say about this event after the disciples, led by Judas Iscariot? Incidentally, Judas Iscariot, if you wondered, why didn't Judas love Jesus? Now, this wasn't the plan, but nevertheless, from Sunday's sermon, you've got the end of the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25. And then you've got a story about Caiaphas, the high priest, who had been in office for 18 years. He was a power broker. This guy was a bad dude. He was able to keep the peace with Rome whilst pretending to be religious. Why? Because what does Matthew 26 say? He plotted to kill Jesus, but he was cowardly, but let's do it in secret. He was such a political cat. He knew that any sort of execution, public execution of this very popular rabbi would have been problematic. So because he was a political beast, what did he do? Matthew 26 later tells us that he held the trial at night. That is a Jewish no-no. He held it in secret. That's against Jewish law. Nevertheless, Caiaphas loathed Jesus. Then all of a sudden, you see Mary, apparently the minor from Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, anointing Jesus' head and feet with nard and then wiping it off with her hair. Then you see the story of Judas Iscariot going to betray Jesus Christ. What are these stories doing together, especially when you see them out of order? And the answer is Matthew's making a point. Do not ever be disturbed about chronologies in the New Testament gospel tellings of Jesus' life. They did not intend to present a strict chronological history. They were trying to make a point. So in this instance, when Matthew is trying to elevate the magnificence of the king, that's the thread throughout the Gospel of Matthew. He tells us about Caiaphas, this fellow who loathed Jesus. Then he goes back 6 days. Wait, what? Why did you jump off track here and inject this story about Mary the minor wiping off Jesus' feet with their hair. Then you get the story of Judas. I think Matthew's trying to make the point. He's introducing us to somebody who loathed Jesus, who loved Jesus, and was lukewarm toward Jesus. Caiaphas hated Jesus Christ. Mary loved Jesus Christ. And she exhibited it by not care. She had no fear of man. She was going to do something that would have been like, whoa, what do you think you're doing? You can maybe anoint his hair. Not sure you need that expensive nard you got there, but his feet? Ah, you're taking off your covering to wipe it. It would have been shocking, and she didn't care. She didn't have a fear of man, and Jesus applauded it. Don't mock her. Because they went after her, led by Judas Iscariot. Why did Judas not love Jesus? He saw the same things that Mary saw, perhaps even more. Why didn't he love Jesus? And the answer is, he loved something more. He loved money. Hoping Jimmy's found 2 Peter chapter 2. Did you find it? Next. Return for our befuddled confusion on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. If you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app, completely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, and that's why we need you now. More than ever before. Through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth before June 30th, because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. fortisinstitute.org/truth. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is not helpful, handsome Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. How do you expect me to keep all of these short attention span balls up in the air when you pipe in and tell me, make sure you talk about the Truth Unhindered campaign? I'm trying to get to The View, which, count your blessings, we're not talking about The View because I've got sound and you don't want to hear it. So you can thank my ADHD at this moment for helping us not listen to The View, who decided to spend some time talking about the Pope. By the way, did you read the story in The Uk? The majority of British citizens now claim that they are neurodivergent. If you're not familiar with the term, basically it's a fancy way, a pseudoscientific way of saying we all think differently. Therefore, if you kind of struggle with this or with that, guess what? You're neurodivergent. You don't do things like the majority of kids in the class. You're neurodivergent. You maybe have a different sense of humor. You're neurodivergent. You process things a little different, slower, faster. You're neurodivergent. In other words, we're all neurodivergent. What is the standard here? What is the norm? Of course, we all think differently. It is another effort, I think, by the secular therapeutic to label everybody. Why? Well, this article from The Uk. And don't you worry, Jimmy. I'll get back to that Truth Unhindered thing.
Okay.
Because I'd rather do that than talk about The View. I'll just tell you that much right now. The majority in UK now self-identify as neurodivergent. In other words, they aren't even going to a supposed specialist. They're diagnosing themselves. Why? This is another one of those terms for which we all qualify. This is like narcissism. The trend of narcissism, which, by the way, we're going to be doing a video on that. I'm going to do that with Libby Glosson. We're going to talk about this trend in social media, secular social media that has infected Christendom. That you and I, when we've got somebody in our lives that is maybe not aligning with every single thing that we think, prefer, like, and do, and they, oh no, judge us. What do? You label them narcissistic. So you contradict anybody. You're a narcissist. You want to do this as opposed to that? You're a narcissist. You correct your child's behavior, you narcissist. I got to put up a fence. I got to have boundaries and space from you. It is so anti-biblical. We'll be talking about that. But that is another one of those terms where the definition gets expanded to the point we all qualify. I'm a narcissist. Jimmy's a narcissist. Well, that word used to have a little bit of meaning. Because there are some people that historically you'd go, whoa, they are the captain of their own planet, aren't they? They just don't look around. They don't see anything. And you can look at some people and it's like, wow, they are just obsessively self-obsessed. But today, it's much broader than that. The same thing is true with ADHD, with autism, with the neurodivergent diagnosis. Everybody's got it. To the article from the UK, a majority of Britons may now consider themselves neurodivergent, meaning they have a condition such as autism, dyslexia, dyspraxia, or ADHD, or any one of the DSM monikers, but they're self-diagnosing it. They don't even go to the doctor, which, by the way, if you'd like to hear a joke that isn't funny, it's the way the secular therapeutic diagnoses these maladies or these struggles that people have. Because they're simply different. They've got a different personality. It's the way God gifted them. How's about that? What if God gave you the gift of a short attention span? Huh? Wouldn't that, what do you mean, gave me a gift of a, I should have a long attention span, says who? How long should your attention span be? What's the correct number of seconds you can watch a YouTube video before you clock out if it isn't totally engaging? Who says? Well, the DSM says. And so the DSM makes definitions for these things that are so broad, it's utterly ridiculous. And when you go to check out, hey, I'm kind of struggling with this or that, no hair, no blood, no urinalysis. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Here you go. Here's the cure. And then they give them a prescription. So people self-diagnosing themselves, well, frankly, they can't do much worse than the secular therapeutic, which reminds me to encourage you to get Greg Gifford's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. You can pre-order it. It is almost out. I actually got copies here. at the studio. It's a beautiful book. It's a hardcover book. It has been endorsed by oodles of really good guys. And it is dealing with the secular therapeutic and the gross overdiagnosing and labeling and causing people to think that they're forever labeled. And there's probably never been a greater time. The timing for this book is just perfect. Because people are starting to talk about it and going, oh, what? Really? We've all got autism? Lies my therapist told me you go to our website and then the links, fortisinstitute.org/lies, and it'll take you to the cheapest place where you can buy it. 2021, a study found 787% jump in the number of diagnoses of autism. What? So between 1998 and 2018, a 780% jump. You can't tell me that it's simply because we're more aware. No, we've expanded the definition. And when you go to clip your nails, you can only do 5 at a time. Well, guess what? You've got ADHD. You sometimes maybe don't like making eye contact with people. Congratulations, you're autistic. Now, we need to remember, there are some people, if the word has any meaning left to it, there are some people that would have genuine autism. And I don't think we're doing them favors, and I don't think we're doing everybody else favors by expanding the definition so that if there's a 787% jump in the order of diagnoses in this is the UK, with an estimated number of children who have autism spectrum disorder, ASD, had risen from 1 in 2,500 children 80 years ago to 1 in 36. Now, could we be seeing an increase in autism, genuine autism? Sure. And should we look into what's causing it? Sure. I'm glad RFK wants to do that. But this isn't that. This is the expansion of definitions so that everybody can be swept up in the secular therapeutic because there's money involved. The schools get money. The doctors can get money from pharmaceutical companies. There's a financial incentive for this diagnosing of individuals. Now, from the article, famous people with autism spectrum disorders include the naturalist and television presenter, Chris Packham. I don't know who that is, but apparently he has the ability to have a job and go on TV and present. Does that sound like what you and I historically have understood autism to be? Did you know Sir Anthony Hopkins is on the spectrum? Yeah, that's right. A guy who memorizes Hamlet, a guy who memorizes scripts. To this day, I think he's still making movies, surprisingly. How is he able to do that with autism? Why? Well, one time he winked when he meant to blink, and so he was diagnosed with autism. Elon Musk, the world's richest man, he's on the spectrum. In other words, the spectrum has no meaning anymore. And it is high time for us to start asking some questions. I'm telling you, Greg's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Disrupt. That's the word. It's a disruptive book, but it's also going to be such a helpful book. Hey, instead of talking about The View, I just thought of this. You know, Jimmy, it just crossed my mind. Hmm? The Truth Unhindered campaign.
Yeah.
You of little faith, you didn't think that we could possibly get back to that. Well, let's talk about Joy Behar. Wait a second. The Truth Unhindered campaign. It is our current match campaign. If you can support, you say, well, what's with the emphasis on if? Are you giving to your local church? If you're not, give to them. Don't give to us, give to them. Don't give to any parachurch ministry. Give to your local church. If you then have access and you are passionate about what that ministry is all about, and another if, you don't have any unmanaged debt, then please consider joining us. It's a match campaign. Our goal is to forever give everything away that we make here. Just every single audio and video resource, we want to give it away because we want to get our stuff into churches around the globe. So it's kind of a two-pronger. We're going to close the store, makes everything free. And then we're going to go find those churches everywhere. And these days you can, with the geo-tracking and the being able to find churches, to get these materials into churches and to get them into the hands of believers who simply can't afford them. Not just in the States, but around the globe. It's truth unhindered. It's a match campaign. It's going on right now, dollar for dollar match. We want to find more people. We want to bless more people. And we're doing this match campaign because we're closing the store and that revenue kind of needs to be replaced. So if you'd like to join us for the Truth Unhindered campaign, you can do that, please, at FortisInstitute.org/truth. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.